And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 139, spotlight on DC Comics, Valor, number one, circa 1992. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard, and I'm feeling old.
Yes, I am too. We just realized how this was 22 years ago, you said?
22. Well, just shy of 22, because the cover date on this is November 92.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're sitting in April of 2014. So just right. You figure it came out probably in September of 92 would be...
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
Would be my guesstimate. So we're a little bit shy of 22 years, but still, 22 years. And, ironically, the price has gone up 220%.
Yeah.
Seriously, the cover price on this was $1.25 American.
Mm-hmm.
Today it would be $3.99 American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
We're talking $2.20 jump in price.
Mm-hmm.
Or excuse me, 220% jump in price.
Okay.
Which is.
I was told there would be no math.
Yeah, I don't know if that matches inflation, but again, like you said, math was not a prerequisite for this podcast.
No, and with my headache, I don't think I could do math if I wanted to.
So we had discussed briefly about, you know, hey, should we give some background on this? And the fact of the matter is, given that it is a 1990s comic and not a 2012 comic, his background included in the comic book.
Yeah, well, I was more thinking about the reason that this Valor exists. Because this was around the time they were doing the... they did the... Well, DC Editorial was doing the Superman has nothing to do with Legion of Superheroes. You can't use him whatsoever. Superboy didn't exist, you know, and all that. And they needed some way to come up with a, what's the word I'm looking for? Inspiration for the Legion. So they came up and they switched it from the Kryptonian to the Daxamite and called him Valor.
Right, and absolutely. And we actually, as we get to the end of this series, we start to see, you know, we get the whole thing about him. And this is all, and we're talking, mm-hmm. you know, 20 years ago, spoilers.
Yeah.
That he actually populated. He didn't actually go out and seed all these worlds.
Yeah,
he actually
literally seed them. But yeah,
he went out and helped populate a lot of the worlds that would later on become worlds that were important for the Legion of Superheroes in the 30th century or 31st century or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever year we want to talk.
And that's kind of what that I think that's what they were going to do in that series was. Kind of chronicle that, but I think it was only 20-some-odd issues, 25, 26, something like that.
This one, yeah, it ran for just a little shy of 2 years, 23 issues. Quite the pedigree of writers, though, on it.
Mm-hmm.
Start off with this particular issue with Robert Lauren Fleming, who did Thriller, which is a favorite of Murray and I, then moved over to Mr. Mark Waid, who is a favorite
yeah.
of yours, as well as mine, mm-hmm. and then Kurt Busiek.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot Busiek did that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this was all tied up in the end of an era storyline for the Legion in Zero Hour, which that might be an interesting event to cover.
Zero Hour? Yeah, I suppose. We could do the last pages of Zero Hour. Oh, it's white.
Yeah. I actually have a. I got lucky and I got one. They did a survey during when that was going on, so the Zero Hour number zero that or I forget which one it was. Actually, I think it was an Legion comic. It had a survey in it, and I ended up with a autographed copy of Zero Hour number zero. It's autographed by Casey Carlson as a. That's what they gave you for filling out the survey.
Yeah.
So
it's autographed by an editor. Oh boy.
Yeah. But anyway. Okay, enough about that. Let's get into this.
So real quick, let me just read the short Wikipedia regarding this particular version. And this was just FYI for Legion fans. This is the character that in the past we've known as Mon-El. In the future we'll know as Mon-El and Mon-El and all sorts of L's. And in fact, he'll also be Valor at certain points in Legion history. But we do know him best as Mon-El. So here's the quick and dirty. In the new Glorith verse reality, Largan replaced the non-existent Superboy as the Legion's inspiration, as you noted. Mm-hmm. As detailed in the story, The Legend of Vader, Legion of Superheroes, Volume 4, Annual 2, 1991, Largan would enjoy a heroic career in the 20th century as Valor, stopping the second Dominator-led invasion of Earth, freeing thousands of humans who had been experimented on by the Dominators and seeding them on a series of worlds between Dominion space and Earth as a buffer zone to prevent future invasions, which, of course, refers to the miniseries, crossover series, Invasion.
Yep.
Which gave us the Snapper Car, the superpowered Snapper Car. These colonists had gained metahuman powers due to the experiments and would, by the time of the Legion, evolve into many of the worlds that would join the United Planets, again, as we noted. After completing his task and an indefinite number of the 20th century ventures, so basically he was Jason on quests, mm-hmm. He would be placed in the Bigstol buffer zone by the time Sorceress Glorith, to be rescued by the Legion in the 30th century. None of these events had otherwise been depicted in the comics about the 20th century. So essentially, it was switched over from the Phantom Zone to he was in that gray area between Bigstol.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I remember that.
Bigstol and reality. In his new history, Largan was inspired by his father's sacrifice in the crossover story Invasion to become a hero. He briefly joins LEGION, where Viraldox II cures his lead poisoning. I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
He plays a significant part in the Eclipse of the Darkness Within crossover, which Superman gives him the name Valor. And then he gets his solo series, Valor, about the character, which lasted 23 issues, which we're going to be covering number one here in just a few seconds, beginning with Lar as an adventurous young man exploring the universe in a spaceship with a sentient AI called Babbage, encountering various aliens and civilizations. And then, I guess, apparently later in the series, it actually becomes a little complex. Like, that wasn't complex enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And it moves on. Glorith had continued altering the timeline, inadvertently recreating the original Time Trapper in the process, traveling back to when Largan was a young man in another attempt to win his affection. She accidentally caused his death. Attempting to undo the damage this caused history, she called forth a duplicate Valor for the Legion's time.
Holy crap.
To take his other self's place, patched into the 20th century timeline by Wave Rider from the Time Lords. Time Lords, is that right? Time Lords?
Yeah.
Okay. With Rick Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, whatever they were called in the... No, the Time Masters.
Time Masters, yeah, you're right. He was tasked with completing Valor's legend... Oh, Wave Rider was... No, this new Valor was... tasked with completing Valor's legendary feats, such as stopping the Dominator's second invasion of Earth and seeding the United Planet worlds, so that the 30th century history could play out as it was supposed to. However, history was playing out much earlier than it was supposed to which led to some changes in Valor's exploits. This was one of the many destabilizations of the time series that eventually led to Zero Hour and the Legion reboot.
Wow!
So, just a couple quick things on that. A, DC was doing these time stream is screwed up because of too much time travel long before Marvel did.
Yeah.
And B, it's what they're doing. What they did with Valor back then seems very similar to what they're doing with Superboy right now, which is too many Superboys, and we don't know which is the real Superboy.
Yeah, and in fact, they had multiple versions in the book. I remember that.
Okay, well, so
All right.
That is. Ooh, do you want me to take this issue, or you got it?
I can do it. Since right. you read through all that crap, that's the least I could do.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm spent.
Let's see. Who we got here? Valor 1992. Name of the issue or end game is a story. Writers Robert Lauren Fleming. Pencilers Mark D. Bright, or otherwise known as Doc Bright, according to ComicBookDB, which I've always liked his work. Inker is Al Gordon. Colorist is Eric Cashelofer, or CAC. that's an interesting name. Okay. Letterer is Bob Pinha. P-I-N-H-A-H-A. Yeah, Pinha. Okay, whatever. Eddie Berzanda is the editor, which, you know, he's isn't he the publisher right now or the main editor of DC right now?
Yeah, he's actually the assistant editor on this one.
Yeah, Michael Urie is the other one. Cover artist is Mark D. Bright and Al Gordon.
It was Mark D. Bright, just FYI, he did that awesome Ray series from not too long after this. I think it was in... Yeah. I want to say it was around the same time. Anyhow.
Yeah. Isn't he one of the Quantum and Woody creators, too?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Yeah, I thought so.
And I'm pretty certain he was over on the Milestone, one of the Milestone books as well.
Yeah, because... Yeah, okay, I remember that.
He's of the African descent.
Ah, okay. Let's see. Okay. This is a... Eclipso Darkness Within Aftermath, first explosive issue.
Ooh.
And you got on the cover and you see in the background the moon with the Eclipso thing, and well, Eclipso, that's too complicated to get into right now, but we'll learn some of that. It's called Endgame. Let's see, and you see a picture of Valor, the first page, being torn up by various, Eclipso minions. And you can tell they're Eclipso minions because they have the moon-shaded face thing, which... Whoa, hello? You there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here. I'm just... Okay. I figured, you know, we don't need to hear all my family arguing about...
Oh. Well, you got quiet. I thought I lost you.
I'm
all
here.
The background noise, but that's fine. Let's see. So, yeah, he's being torn up, and you hear somebody saying, take your time, Largand. And apparently he's talking to a psychiatrist, and she was showing him a ink blot, or a Rorschach diagram, I believe that's what they call it, the Rorschach test. And she's like, well, you know, what you see, and he's it's hard to say. He's obviously hiding it. And I need your first impression, remember? And he says, okay, a butterfly. And a butterfly? Is that wrong? There are no wrong answers in this kind of test. Let's try another ink blot.
And my first impression is his hair is, I mean, his head is awfully square.
Yeah, it is kind of square, isn't it? It's almost like the leader or something. The forehead is huge. Slightly, a little off there.
Yes.
So she shows him another one, and... what does this bring to mind? And apparently it reminds him of Eclipso's palace on the moon. And he's recounting how he got involved with this Eclipso thing. I happened on it by accident. Eclipso's sitting there and says, you seem quite powerful. And he's powerful enough to take you in a fair fight, which that's... I don't remember Monil talking like that, but hey, whatever. Oh, excuse me, Valor. But... Next thing you know, he's being taken over by Valor, or Valor's taken over by Eclipso, and within my sanctum, I'm all powerful. Dargan's body is now mine to control. And it shows him beating things up. And in control it he did. I will force the heroes to land beside my palace. And you see Superman with a torn cape. He's like, Largan, guess again, Man of Steel, I Eclipso control your friend, just as I once controlled you. Yeah, definitely 90s dialogue there. fortunately, Superman was, and also Thought Bubbles, which I kind of miss. Fortunately, Superman was able to defeat Eclipso and restore me to normal. And you see a picture of Superman with the edges of his cape torn, which, you know, back then you could do that. That was after the crisis, of course. And he's laying there on the moon, you know, had obviously got his butt kicked. And he said, but. So I guess he said saw someone in trouble. That's kind of a interesting switch, because one second he's laying on the ground, next thing Superman's got his arm around him, maybe he's helping him up. That's probably what's happening. So he's got, I assume, his telescopic vision, because, you know, Daxamite, powers of Superman. I spotted the solar scientist, Dr. Bruce Gordon, planning a solar bomb inside the palace, which I think that Gordon guy was involved with Eclipso, or was Eclipso. I don't remember. I'm not.
Yeah, Bruce Gordon was, yeah.
Yeah. And according to the timer on the bomb, he had less than a minute to get out of there. I was feeling particularly dirty after having Eclipso in my head for so long, so I jumped at a chance to get clean. So he takes off and goes after this guy, and he's, you can't stop me this time, Eclipso. I'm beyond your grasp now. And he busts into the palace and gets the guy out. And a thought balloon, I just wish I really believed that myself. Anyway, so you got a human in space with nothing but a nice little mask. So we'll just step by that. And so he's thinking, and he's got his eyes closed, doesn't want to look at the ink blot because it reminds him of that. And he says, it's obvious from my reaction to these ink blots that my dealings with Eclipso are far from over.
And real quick, this whole thing was referring to a DC annual crossover called Fill the Darkness Within, book ended by, it was a 20 part story.
Oh, Lord.
Started with Eclipso Darkness Within, ran through 18 of the various DC annuals of that year, with Eclipso possessing usually the main character of the book. You create some thing, and then it ended with Eclipse of the Darkness Within number 2, and then this was the aftermath. And I do recall in the issue, the first issue, it had that diamond glued to the cover.
Oh, I didn't read any of it, so I don't know.
Well, it was back in the day when DC and Marvel were using their annuals as an opportunity to do their crossover events. It was similar to like the Atlantis
attacks.
Yeah, whatever, over at Marvel, and DC did a couple of them. Usually they weren't a continuing story. Usually, you know, like the, oh my god, they need to stop yelling out there. usually it was introducing new characters like the Blood Ties DC annuals.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
Hey, he gave us Hitman. Come on.
Hitman part of that? Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Hello.
I didn't read all of those either.
So anyhow, all kidding aside, this was DC's one from 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, a ton of annuals were involved in it. 18 of them, as I said. So, but that gives you an idea that there were only, at that time, 18 ongoing DC comics.
Really? Yeah, I guess that's true.
That was easy. This is the current 52.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, it depends on what day it is.
Yeah. So again, sorry to interrupt. So we're back.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good.
We're back to him stressing over looking at a dirty piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. And so he says, as she says, Largan, your first impression. And he says, it reminds me of a flower, with his eyes barely open. And she's, that does it. If you're determined to conceal your true reactions from me, there's no point in continuing this session. And she's got a nice little purple skirt with purple hose on, which is kind of weird looking. Anyway, I'm sorry, but I just don't think these silly ink blots can provide any insights into my... And then he looks at one, picks one up, and says, Father? And what did you say? That ink blot, it reminds me of my father. And he's sitting there with his incredibly large forehead. He says, yeah, that's really bad, isn't it? It's like... I don't know, maybe he just needs bangs. you know, put that down. And she says, why is that, Largan? The shape resembles a playing piece from a game called Paragon. It's sort of like chess on my home planet of Daxam. Daxam. Yeah, whatever. My father taught me to play when I was only 3. He played whenever he was home, which wasn't that often.
Then he got a mullet.
Yeah, then he got a mullet. Apparently, everybody on Daxam has very incredibly large foreheads.
Yes, they do. It's
yeah,
genetic.
Yeah, and he said we put and so it shows them he's probably I don't know teens whatever, and he's telling his dad, "I learned some new moves while you were away, father." And his job involved a lot of traveling, and it shows him later, even later on, and it says, "Game point, father," until it finally caught up with him. I don't know
what's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Yeah. I don't know what surprised him more, that he was about to lose for the very first time or that I was about to win. And this is kind of a cheesy thing to do. Leave the board. Sit up, son. We'll have to continue this when I return. So he just all of a sudden decides to leave. So apparently he's a sore loser.
I'm surprised he didn't just knock over the board.
Yeah. I thought he'd be proud of me. I never expected him to feel threatened. And so he's thinking to himself, when he gets back, I'll let him win. Then everything will be all right again. Oh, that's sad. But that was the last time I ever saw him.
Back and we'll play catch in the backyard.
Yeah, exactly. He gave his life signaling for help during the invasion of Earth. He was supposed to be a neutral observer, but I guess he saw something he loved here, loved more than me. Oh, wow. She's like, let the tears come, Lorgan. It's healthy to cry. Oh, my God.
Here comes Monel.
Yeah. No, my father wouldn't want me to cry for him. That's why I never have. But Lorgan, bluffing was everything in Paragon. My father taught me to hide my emotions. This is real life, not a game. Actually, it's a comic book, but whatever.
And real quick, by the way,
just
FYI, and I have not read this issue, so I don't know where we're going with this, but always got to remember, in a Legion comic, somebody wearing purple is not a good guy.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Well.
And so you see somebody's watching them between a fake wall, or actually it might be a window.
It's a two-way mirror, probably.
Yeah, two-way mirror. It's just
one way.
We'll continue this tomorrow. Okay, Doctor. So now we stand here. Now, a little background on this. This is Lex Luthor Jr., and I've got air quotes going. This is when Luthor had died because he wore the kryptonite ring for so long. This is the redo of Luthor, and he apparently they'd saved his brain or his mind pattern and put it in a clone of his body. And so they were calling him Lex Luthor Jr., his son that nobody knew about. And this is also during the time that the Matrix Supergirl, the shape-changing thing, was around. And
you pulled that thought right out of my head. When there were no other Kryptonians.
Yeah, there wasn't supposed to be any other Kryptonians. Which is funny because the Legion, I'm like 20 episodes behind, but the Legion podcast episode was just talking about this, so it's all fresh in my mind. But anyway, so basically he's trying to manipulate him from behind the scenes, which is typical. So yeah. And here's some wonderful thought balloons. He's watching. Very interesting. This young man is a real case study. He resisted the Rorschach inkblots. We intentionally planted to reveal his Eclipso trauma. Oh, you bastard. And well, that was me, by the way. Okay, and responded accidentally to one of the genuine inkblots. So the purple chick is coming around. She says, good work, doctor. Thank you, sir. What's your diagnosis? Lorgan's body may have been healed in the past few weeks, but his trauma at the hands of Eclipso has left deep psychic scars. The incident has awakened feelings that he has long suppressed. He is so guarded, Mr. Luthor. And he's saying, meaning? And they're walking through some big sprawling complex while they're talking. Meaning I doubt anyone will ever pierce his defenses. If you say so, then it must be true, my dear, because you are the best. Thank you again, okay. Thank you again, sir. But why have you brought me here? And they're like standing over this huge spaceship, which
in pieces,
yeah, that they're putting together, which is the I believe is going to be the AI ship called Babbage that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
To show you my solution to the problem of an uncontrollable boy with unstoppable powers. Okay, why do you care, pal? I don't know. You he just got to get his hands in anything. She's going, is it a spaceship? I'm afraid that's classified information, Doctor. Then why bring her there?
I know, I'm just...
But for our young Largand, let's say it represents a one-way ticket to oblivion. I added the sound effects.
That anyway. Did any freaking sharks for laser beams.
Yeah.
So he gets a spaceship.
That's a little piece. So apparently they've got him a place to live in there, and he uses a key card to get into his room. And more thought balloons. Something's been eating at me ever since I got back from the moon. That's a sentence you don't hear very often. Anyway, and this ink blot I snuck out of the psychiatrist's office is some kind of clue. What does it remind me of? It's on the tip of my tongue, and then all of a sudden he says, Luna City. And you see a image of Eclipso superimposed over his face and kind of like pencil drawing. And he's like, huh? Eclipso's voice from my mouth. And he drops the ink blot and he starts barfing in the toilet. That's great. Awesome.
Hey, I apologize. My bad.
No, that's fine.
Just as easily as gone with Vigilante number one.
So. This is a random pick. Semi-random pick. Well, it was random up to a point. Well, Vigilante would have had a lot of people getting shot in it, I'm sure. Okay, so next thing you see, he's flying off. At least I know what I have to do. I have to get somebody to clean the toilet, I think, but that's something else. Anyway, Eclipso controlled me for months on the moon, but I took away a little piece of him. And once again, we're in thought balloons here. And it's that little piece that I'm going to use against him here on Earth to destroy him once and for all.
Sorry, because Eclipso wasn't actually destroyed. He was just once again defeated or repressed at the end of that huge crossover.
Yeah. Let's see. So Luthor's watching in his chair here. Not even a goodbye after all I've done for him. Okay. Which, that happened before the series started, but, you know, for his own means. Mm-hmm. So you see...
That up, though. That's a cool little chair and the hydraulics and stuff.
Yeah, he's got a little nice little setup. I bet he gets all the channels, too. So he sends a probe after him, I guess. You see, it's two things. As you see, Valor breaks the sound barrier, and then I guess that thing following him does too. So he sent a probe after him. Yep. So he's sitting, Luthor's sitting there and watching his monitors, and curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back. That's almost a rhyme, isn't it?
Yeah, almost. It's a haiku, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. So anyway, so he's not actually going to the moon. He's over some kind of Stonehenge-looking thing, but it looks like it's made out of metal. And he's thinking to himself, yes, this is it, Lunar City, hidden away in an impenetrable. My mouth would not work there for some reason. South American jungle. It's a really thick jungle in South America, guys. Those bizarre structures resemble gigantic magnets. Okay.
At some point during the Darkness Within, mm-hmm. Eclipso's base got moved from the moon to South America.
Yeah. And for some reason, all the birds flying around Valor here are green. And I thought Changeling or Beast Boy was here, but there's more than one, so it can't be him. But anyway, gigantic magnets. And I see that there's a welcoming committee. So he lands. And you see a bunch of Eclipso minions, like that was in the beginning of the book, and they're finishing each other's sentences, so they're all...
Stop saying minions, I keep thinking of Despicable
Me. Oh, sorry, okay.
No, it's okay, I keep thinking Despicable Me. So.
Yeah, henchmen, we'll call them henchmen. Okay, I still haven't seen those movies. I hear they're good.
They're great.
All right. So you got Eclipso voices coming out of them, and each one of them saying one part of the sentence, so they've got some kind of hive mind thing going on. Look, we have an unexpected visitor. You may have questions about the purpose of this installation, Largand. It has been years in the making. East Every piece carried in by hand.
So I'm wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I thought his base. We clearly there was something mentioned during the miniseries or the crossover thing that there was. I feel like we missed something because they talk about this lunar base, but then they get in South America.
Yeah, I think this is a bad way to start a series like this. You know, everybody has to. They're assuming everybody read that all that Eclipso crap.
Yeah.
But you know, still, anyway, we're dealing with Eclipso. By Eclipso, yeah, carried in by hand by Eclipsos like myself, who were evoked by humans who came into contact with my black diamonds. That's a weird sentence there. We work at night and hide by day from the deadly rays of the accursed sun. Oh, he's monologuing. Look out. Even so, we've almost completed this facility, and one of them's over there touching a button from a panel, and you are privileged to witness this test run. Watch the skies. And Valor says, his head doesn't look quite so big in that picture. What are you up to, you lunatic? And then you see he's talking. I'm up to what I've always been up to. No good. And you see some kind of big... you see some kind of big blast come out from the quote-unquote magnets and hit some kind of satellite and either bring it down or something. It's kind of hard to tell. But anyway, there's a skablam.
Take a drink.
Yeah, take a drink. For this once this installation is fully operational, it will be capable of pulling. Oh, okay. He's pulling things down from orbit with it. That's what he's doing. It's big magnet. It is big magnets. It will be capable of pulling the moon itself from its orbit, and the resultant dust cloud shall blanket the Earth, destroying all who survived the initial impact. Okay.
Which, by the way, of all the art in this whole issue so far, this page is awesome.
Yeah, that's a pretty good page, I have to admit.
The coloring is what makes it for me. I really love that bright coloring in the first couple panels. And then
I think this is M.D. Bright, some of his first work, because I never really noticed that forehead thing. It's like different shapes, almost, in these next panels. It's like one panel, it's like his eyes, like, 4 inches lower than the other one in this one picture. Oh, man, that's weird.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't know. I always liked this artist, but this must be his real early work because his forehead is freaking huge. And so, you know, one of the henchmen saying, "There's nothing you can do to stop it." So, okay, thought balloons. He may be right, but I have to try. So, and he's thinking, this is a good time to test my new Haida cape. So the big, if you've ever seen a picture of Monel / Valor / I think they call him Champion after Zero Hour, he's got these yellow discs things. And in this one, apparently he can touch them, and his cape retracts into them. So he says, good time to test my new Haida cape, providing me with maximum freedom of movement. So he's thinking to himself. Luckily, these are all evoked Eclipsos, meaning that there are no human beings inside of them, so I don't have to hold back. So he.
By the way, this guy's career started all the way back in 1978.
Eclipso?
No, M.D. Bright.
Oh, wow, 78? And, man, he's... Wow. Yeah, that's an incredibly large forehead.
But then it really kicked in... during the 80s and 90s. So, but.
Yeah, because when he did, he worked on some Flash and Green Lantern issues. It was good stuff. I don't remember it being this rough.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I agree.
I guess if his forehead wasn't so large, it wouldn't be quite so bad. The rest of them look okay. Anyway, so he's thinking to himself, I don't have to hold back. So he breaks the one that jumps on his thumbs. Pardon me.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, then he snaps his neck. As a matter of fact, and then one of them says, he broke his neck. And he's thinking to himself, the rougher the better. And he's just, they can't retaliate if they're just deeply embedded in solid steel. Yeah, he's just tearing them up.
He's vicious.
Not very Superman-like at all. Ooh. Anyway, another way you can tell that this is in the 90s, fingerless gloves. And he's got a belt with pockets pouches on it, which, why, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's carrying his, well, no, cell phones would be the size of a room back then, so maybe he was not a cell phone in there. He's like, well, what are you waiting for? He's looking at the one up on top of something. And then I'm waiting to catch you off of balance, Largand. And then one jumps at him and he just fries him into crispy, crunchy pieces with his heat vision.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Leave it to you to jump a person from behind. Whoa, hey, hey now.
Agent Darren Noel.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. And now another shot of my laser vision. I knew it was called something different. So he's shooting up at something. Nothing can penetrate my beam of black light. That's racist. Next, except for, of course, me, myself, and I. And he sees like two or three of them jump in after. Because he's about to... yeah, that's what happened. He hit him with that. They show some kind of things hitting him. But it looked like he was shooting up with his laser vision because he mentions laser vision, but that's not what happened. It was darkness from the diamond, the black diamond.
Yep.
And then a bunch of people jumped in. So then you see his head, you see his large forehead covered is the only thing that's not covered. He's got me completely immobilized. I better stall for time. Pardon me, I got a scratchy throat here.
Cool.
Okay. I know why you won't fight fair, Eclipso, because you're afraid to lose. And one of them says, is that so? You know it is. I've been inside your head, and it's seeing a superimposed picture of Valor over Eclipso's face. And I have been inside yours. You are very angry, Largand, at your father. Well, what are you talking about? Oh, come on, please. Don't believe it? Then take this black diamond in your hand and prove me wrong. Okay, whatever. Dumbass, don't do that. You think this so-called anger at my father will trigger the gem and allow you to control me again? Well, by all means, let me try. And so he takes it from him. He doesn't say that, I did. Well, see for yourself. And he's holding it up in a light. My father was a great man and an inspiration to me. And then, oh, now, by the way, the sun's coming up. Oh, wow. That's, yeah, okay. Darren, we need you. Anyway. So, you see him running, and they're in various throes of pain. Run! He has tricked us! And he's doing each one doing a word of the sentence again. I don't get mad, I get even. And he throws the weapon back to him. Your dark side is slight, it's true. But mark my words, Largand, it exists. He's standing there. That was a good bluff, Lar. Bluffing is everything in Paragon. And then he's in shock and he sees the pieces on the board. So now he's...
The Paragon board from back on...
yes, yes. It's a giant size. Father, you told me to leave the board up. You said you'd be back. But you lied, Father. You're never coming back. The game is over and you should have been proud of me.
Liar, liar, pants and fire.
Yeah, so now he's having a tantrum and he's destroying the pieces. He's beating it up, so yeah. And he should have been proud of me. And he's like completely tore up the whole thing. So, okay. Wow. So, next thing you see, Luthor's watching all this and he says, pathetic. Which, I'm sorry, but I tend to agree. It's oblivion for him, all right. But first, I have a little favor. This is Thought Balloons. Now he says, I have a little favor to ask of you. And you see a figure in the doorway. Yes? There's a poor, sad boy. I want you to help. Saddened and deluded. Oh? I was wondering if you would go to him and persuade him to return with you, for his own good, of course. Oh, I'll get him here, Lex, one way or another. And you see Supergirl. Which, you know, this was 1992, so it's not very far away from when Supergirl died in the crisis. But this is not that Supergirl. This is the Matrix shape-changing one from the pocket universe.
So much freaking hair.
Yeah, she's got a lot of hair. And no boobs. Well, just a little bit boobs. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So yeah, there you go, issue one.
There was a reason. As a Legion fan, I still am shocked at the fact that I never read a single issue of this series. So.
I started it, and I missed a bunch of issues, and I finally got them all. I don't think I've ever went through and read them all.
But I read the Zero Hour issue, the one that closed it out, because into the Legion.
They got a letter column. Well, the starting of a letter column. It's actually a bunch of editorial because obviously they don't have any letters yet. But they got a little yellow box that's on sale next week. Eclipso number one by Giffen, Fleming, Sears, and Peddington. So apparently they had an ongoing Eclipso series.
Yep.
And it says the God of Vengeance resurfaces to further spread his evil, this time by taking over a small South American country. Interesting.
Which I think we just saw.
Yeah, part of it. Yeah.
Actually, it was a decent. I actually picked up some of the issues of the Eclipso series, especially some of the near the end where
he
killed off a bunch of B characters, including one of my favorites from the All Star from Justice League, which was when they reintroduced Major or Commander Steel from All Star Squadron.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As well as Creeper, but that was.
I never did really care for that character, so I never did read any of it.
Well, it was decent. It got very mature.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And very, very cool. So, as series goes, as series first issues go, this did introduce all the character. Did introduce the character. Lack of a better way of saying it, it did introduce a couple of the supporting characters, who I guess from the description that we read earlier, fall off pretty quickly. The art was passable. The script was 90s, 80s, it filled in all the gaps. Who's what? What's where? I think if I were to pick this up cold, I wouldn't feel like I was completely lost.
Yeah. Maybe so. Not sure. It makes me want to read the rest of them to see if it got any better. Because I actually liked the book. I don't remember that one being so muddled. I'm looking at the cover of number two, and Supergirl's got this great big huge rock, and she's about to slam him up with it. So, interesting.
Yeah. And MD Bright, like I said, he went on. He did this. He only did the series for four issues, and then he went over to help start up Milestone.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So he was actually one of the original creators on Icon, as well as a couple, and then helped design a couple of their other characters over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he did do, as you noted, he did some Green Lantern as well.
Yes, he did.
And did some covers, if nothing else. And then he was bouncing. It was back in the day when they could bounce back and forth between DC and Marvel pretty easily, but he did stay pretty confined to the DC world. And then, of course, Robert Lauren Fleming. I don't know what he's up to nowadays, but he was one of the more mature writers that DC was able to get their hands on.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of him, but he's apparently done a lot of stuff.
He's great. I was a huge fan. As I noted earlier, the thriller.
Well, yeah. I've probably read his stuff and just not realized it, I guess. There was a period there that I didn't pay attention to who was doing what. Oh, yeah, he's worked on, let's see, Amethyst, Action Comics, Ambush Bugs, several Ambush Bugs.
Yes.
Atari Force, Bad Rock and Company, that's an Image thing. Some Batman, Cyberpunks from 1996, no idea what that is. Yeah, there. He was an Eclipso writer. See, Honeymooners comic, Jughead, he's done some of that. Yeah, it's all over the place. To Riverdale and back again. Tales of the Legion, Tales of the Teen Titans. Yep. Youngblood Strike File. Yep. Very interesting.
He was here, he was there, he was everywhere.
Yep, apparently so.
As noted before, so basically, you know, what I did is I picked a number between 1 and 3, came up with 1, which was DC, and then I picked a number between 1 and 27, which would have been any of the letters of the alphabet or a number,
mm-hmm.
and came up with 22, which was the letter V,
mm-hmm.
And then just went in and said, looked at what DC had done and began with the letter V, and honestly, it was pretty slim pickings of what I would want to actually look at, and given the Legion connection that we all have here, I figured, we'll do Valor.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Murray would have just loved reading through this.
Yeah.
We would have heard a lot of blacks and oohs.
Yeah.
Throughout the episode. But it was this or Vigilante or V for Vendetta were my three, and I figured V for Vendetta was a little too deep.
Oh, yeah. That would have been little too deep. Yeah.
A little Alan Moore early on Sunday morning. No, thank you very much.
Yeah. That would have been a little much, yeah.
So we ended up with Valor, which, again, there were much, much worse comics to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then much better.
Yeah. I don't remember it being that rough, but hey, you know.
It was a little rough, and boy, you know, when they joke on the Legion podcast about Mon El, and I know you do as well, he really...
Well, that is the first time... I mean, they do... I mean, you know, Mon El is one of my favorite characters, always has been. And that's the first time I've ever really seen that character fit that so description so well. So, that's...
Literally puking.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unfortunate.
If you have to ask, I had to ask myself, you know, when a superpowered character like that pukes, shouldn't the projectile vomiting have
you would think
broke the toilet? So
yeah, you think it would have broke the toilet?
only comic book geeks would have that particular thought.
Well, you know what happens.
Who's stronger, Superman or the Hulk? And what would happen if Superman puked in a toilet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that would be
right.
That would be a that would have been unfortunate. So yeah, oh wow, this fight between him and Supergirl, something interesting.
That will be for a later date, I'm sure. So real quick, Winter Soldier worth the price of admission?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay.
Oh wow, yeah, it. Well, I like when they do the sequels, and they don't have to do all the setup for the character. Everything is already established, and that thing was dropped down, I mean, just action from the beginning.
I saw one description that called it like it was basically a James Bond movie. So.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of spy stuff, yeah. I was really surprised at some of the stuff they did, but... it was really good. And there's two things in the credits. The first one is worth staying for, but the second one isn't necessarily worth staying for. And I mean, in my case, I had to pee really bad at the end of the movie. And I knew there was another one, and I'm thinking, and so we waited for it, and it was like, that was it? And so, yeah. So it just depends whether you have to pee or not.
So not quite a shawarma ending, all right?
No. The second one, they should have had it first.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah. But the first one definitely ties into the rest of it, and they already. I just saw today, on a site that one of the characters that get introduced in the actor that plays one of the characters gets introduced in this film says that they've already scheduled the third movie in 2016. So
yeah, I saw the rumors, and this was weeks ago. They were talking about they were scheduling for the same date as Superman Batman. So
oh yeah, which I think they changed their Superman Batman and changed the date at least once to stay out of the way of something other Marvel movie. So.
Oh, poor DC.
Yeah, I know. They're way behind.
Will they ever win?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm looking forward. We were going. I had initially thought we would go this weekend, but it's just jam-packed full of other goodies. So maybe next weekend, possibly the weekend after, just depending on scheduling. So
yeah,
I mean, heavy mud run next Saturday. So depending on whether that kicks plans or not, we may go after that.
Mm-hmm. All right then.
I'm looking forward because it's Captain America, never one of my favorites, never cared, but that first movie was so good. So.
Oh, and the second one is better, I think.
Wow, that's saying a lot because the first one was.
Yeah, it is definitely one of the better of the ones.
Oh,
the Thor one, the first Thor movie, and the second one, a little bit better, but this one is way over that. Lots of action, and it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Is it Avengers level? Is it Iron Man 1 level?
Almost. Almost. Yeah, it's close.
Wow. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. Those were the two. Iron Man, obviously, because it was the granddaddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Avengers because it was that the whole team up.
Yeah, it was up there. Wow. As far as action level, it definitely was right up there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'd like to see it again. So, but yeah, it's good stuff.
I wanted to close this out on a positive note.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a good movie.
So. You know, just and to go back to our original, the reason for this podcast today was I like the idea of going in cold on something. It's sort of like not seeing. I really like going to movies where I haven't seen like a gazillion previews for it.
I know, and I did my best not to watch or read anything about it, so.
Okay, and that's how I felt about this comic that we read today. Is I didn't know what to expect, so
yeah.
I kind of like how we're, you know, these random ones occasionally.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I agree. It's good to do that. So
fun.
You are right. It is fun.
Not as fun as that New Mutants issue, though the art was comparable.
Yeah, definitely rough.
Something about there was a period of time when anyone could draw comics. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it's still better than anything I could do, but, you know. My stick people don't have that big forehead, so.
All right, well, I got to go coach some softball here in about half an hour.
So. All right, I'll let you go, man. I got to go work on my folks' computer, I think, so.
Give it the closeout.
All right. Yes. Oh, yeah, that's me. As always, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com, and you can check us out on the Facebook page and let us know what you think on there. And as always, you can at least, yeah, you still can. Yeah, you can comment on any episode. Let us know what you think there. And hey, iTunes, throw a comment in. Say yo, or just to know where you're out there. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, so. That's about it. Until next week.
See ya.
We are out.